Hello, and welcome to your weekly dose of the latest sustainability news, brought to you by The Green Elephant. Coming up this week, the entire world's carbon emissions will be trackable in real time. We ask which emissions and what is real time. Hundreds of studies show that chemicals cause widespread health problems. We'll take a look behind the story to see which everyday items you might avoid. Apple announces it will be net zero by 2030. We'll be finding out if this is true or just moving the problem elsewhere. And we'll take a look at the latest UN Sustainable Development Report. Joining me to discuss these and more as usual is Russell. Morning, Russell.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you doing?
Yes. I'm okay, I guess.
Fantastic.
I'm upright.
Good, good. We'll also be talking about Microsoft, IBM, Procter & Gamble, Nestle, G20 diets, tree planting, deforestation and polar bears. So, the entire world's carbon emissions will finally be trackable in real time. The new Climate Trace Coalition is assembling the data and running the AI. This initiative is being driven by the fact that currently most countries do not know where most of their emissions come from, which is a huge problem if you're trying to have international climate emissions negotiations. The new group, TRACE, which stands for Tracking Real-Time Atmospheric Carbon Emissions, wants to make access to real-time emissions data a reality and has targeted November 2021 to make this a reality. So, what do you think about this, Russell?
It's interesting. It probably leads to or clarifies the point that up to now we've been operating in a world where we guess our carbon emissions, and you know, broadly on the big emitters like energy production and such like, but never really knowing where our stuff's coming from, where the carbon is coming from in each country.
No.
It's good to get perhaps a head of steam on measuring something, because if you can measure it, you can perhaps manage it.
And you could do something about it if you know what it is. It looks like they're pulling data from numbers of different sources. They got some traditional carbon sources, but some newer things they're bringing into this data set.
Yeah, they're going to start tracking ships in the ocean, and on the basis of what they know about that ship, they can work out what it's burning. That's one illustration, one of the things they're looking at. I think they're also looking at spectroscopic imagery to chart the blasting at quarries. So there's a range of interesting things. I just wonder if it goes far enough. Are they going to be tracking cows and chickens?
Well, I guess we have to view this in the context of better than what we've got so far.
And well, so yeah, that's true.
To that, and it's a good initiative, and seems to have some high-profile backing. I saw that Al Gore is promoting it. So
The philanthropic arm of Google.org. So Google's, a charitable arm is Google.org, and they're throwing their weight behind it as well. So they've got massive analytical capabilities.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's an interesting story, and we'll keep an eye on that one to see how it develops over the coming weeks and months. So now let's take a look at some other big sustainability news stories from the week. So in company news, we see that IBM reduces its CO2 emissions almost 40% since 2005. What a great headline.
It's a great headline. One thing, they have been measuring their CO2 emissions, or trying to, since 2005. So that's pretty good. 40% in 15 years? That's not brilliant. I mean, I would expect somebody who's so far ahead of being able to measure their CO2, they were shrugging it off the first 10 years, maybe.
Indeed.
But they are moving forward.
Yeah. Procter & Gamble, for those that don't know, they make Pampers, Olay, Head & Shoulders, Ariel, Fairy, Braun, Gillette, and lots of other brands. They say their global operations are going to be carbon neutral within a decade.
Yeah. I mean, and good for them. They are one of the monsters of industry, and they own so many brands you just wouldn't believe it. Well, you just listed, but you know, you have got in there making throwaway nappies carbon neutral. That's quite clever, really.
Yeah.
It does bring it. As we've got another story in a minute about trees, and it does make you worry that they might be relying too much on offsetting to do this.
Absolutely, they're moving the problem elsewhere. Nestle Waters in North America, they say they're converting three more of their brands to 100% recycled plastic bottles. And I know, Russell, you've got a view on bottled water companies.
Well, Nestle, again, one of the absolute massive companies in the industry, another one that owns more brands than you know. And then they list three brands in the press or in this article: Ozarka, natural spring water, that is Ozarka brand natural spring water, Deer Park brand and natural spring water, and Zephyrhills brand. And you're going, well, firstly, why are you drinking bottled water, for crying out loud? Stop drinking it. However, for those people that feel they do need to drink bottled water and that tap water just is, I know, some kind of poison or something, then they are going to make their bottles out of 100% recycled plastic, and they will be 100% recyclable. So the big challenge I think they have in North America is stopping people throwing them away anyway. So they've had to put signs on these things that say, this is not trash, recycle it.
Yeah. Well, I think, as you said before, bottled water companies are not in the business of water. They're in the business of making plastic bottles.
Because the water is another end of that.
And I think, you know, there's wider sustainability issues around Nestle, around where they take their water from and the local communities that affects, and whether those communities can get access to that water. And so there's a bigger debate around that one for another day. But in good news, Capgemini Research says that sustainability is moving up the consumer agenda. I think that's only a good thing.
The figures are quite impressive on this. So 79% of consumers are changing their purchase preferences based on that. And so they're looking for brands, and people are moving away from perhaps their more well-known brands for lesser-known brands because they see their sustainability. I suppose the offset to that is, are they really sustainable, these Absolutely. New brands?
Yeah. See that Microsoft have said they're targeting diesel backup power to reduce emissions. Now, how does diesel backup reduce emissions?
Well, I mean, obviously diesel is a fossil fuel or drawn from a fossil fuel, and any stopping of burning fossil fuels is good. And it only, their figures say that it only accounts for less than 1% of their overall emissions. So it's not, it's not huge. And also they're going to do it at their leisure. I think 2030 is what they're planning to do it by. Not quick enough, Microsoft. Good-o. Well done for spotting your burning fossil fuels, but get on with it.
As ever, the story behind the headline. And in the ongoing news about organic and recyclable and different fabrics, I've seen plastics, and I've seen made from crustaceans turn into t-shirts. But this week, an LA startup turns spoiled milk into biodegradable t-shirts.
I don't even know where to start on this one.
It is brilliant
because so much gets thrown away by supermarkets, so much gets thrown away at the farm, because if the demand's not there, it just gets dumped down the drain. If they could shove that off to somebody to turn it into fibres, very clever process. How sustainable it is as a process would be interesting to find out in its broadest sense. The other one, the big thing is if it's not enough that it's actually three times softer than cotton, antimicrobial, odour-free, well, that's a good thing, anti-wrinkle and temperature regulating, it also has 18 amino acids that can nourish and improve skin texture. I mean, for crying out loud, it's a wonder clothing. You'll have this beautifully moisturized body and the rest of you all crusty and flaky.
Yeah. Right, moving on to other sustainability news. A sad story, this one. Polar bears could be lost by 2100, so another 80 years.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the chatter. One of the Facebook groups we're party to talked about this. Somebody posted this on there, and it was vitriolic because polar bears are one of the longest standing fossil records. Yeah. And so if you're going to take that, then polar bears have lasted an ice age and a melting of the polar ice caps before. Yeah. So there was a lot of angst going on as to whether this was a bit of a scare story, but you know, both sides of the story. I don't know what to read into this one at all.
Well, there's certainly no doubt that the environment is changing for them.
I think the big thing to consider is whether it's changing faster than they've ever experienced before. If they have, it's been this slow warming, not this catastrophically high, quick warming.
Tree planting is not always the best strategy to combat climate change, apparently. So,
yeah,
one of a number of approaches, but not always the first go-to one, I think. Is
no, well, there's a number of problems that I've read about, and not just in the article which this news story came from, but one which talked about these companies that are planting trees. They're planting all the same type of tree, and so there's no if a disease hits a type of tree, the whole forest is wiped out. The other thing is, you plant one tree, it takes probably 12 to 15 years to come to CO2, to where it's actually starting to consume CO2 instead of contribute to it. And 50% will have died by then. So you might be planting half a tree if you give money to planting trees. And then there's all the other things. Is actually the best thing you can do is preserve existing rainforest and existing forests, not try and create a new one.
Yeah. Okay, so a quick scoot through some other stories we've noticed this week, and as ever, you can find links to all these in the show notes page. Deforestation has slowed, that's a good thing, but it still remains a concern.
Yes.
Unbalanced diets in the G20 make up 75% of global food carbon. So 20 countries, 75% of the global food carbon. Homes of wealthy Americans create 25% more emissions than their poorer neighbours.
Not really much of a surprise there.
And in a big fanfare, Joe Biden announces $2 trillion climate plan to create millions of jobs and reverse climate change. Announced in a big fanfare, but...
Have you read that? Have you read what he's proposing to do?
A re-announcement of a previous jobs plan, as far as I can...
it's a bonkers plan. Every American city with 100,000 more residents will have zero emissions public transport. It's or options anyway, and the number of jobs they're seeking to create is massive. But good for him. I think he needs to make a stand against Trump's "it's a hoax."
Moving on, reviews of hundreds of studies show that a growing number of chemicals in pesticides, flame retardants, and certain plastics are linked to widespread health problems, including infertility, diabetes, and impaired brain development. Published in The Lancet, researchers from the New York University Grossman School of Medicine led a team of environmental health experts in an analysis of research published in the past 5 years. The new reports focus on chemicals of concern, common in industrial and household goods. These include toxins found in non-stick pans and waterproof clothing, and substances used in many plastics and can linings. Now, I don't know about you, Russell, but the prospect of toxic chemicals being found in can linings was quite disturbing when I read this story.
Yeah, things like tin tomatoes, tin potatoes, which can corrode the inside of a can, have had plastic linings for many years. And of course, that corrosion carries on, enters the food, then we eat it. And non-stick pans, you know, who doesn't fry an egg or
taking a fresh egg and we're cooking chemicals into it.
Yeah, basically. And those, they refer to these chemicals as endocrine disruptors, and the endocrine system is kind of the hormone factory for the body, and so hormones are used in pretty well everything that we do, triggering chemical reactions in the brain. And so they're suggesting it could reduce IQ, it could create problems like endometriosis, growths in the right uterus, and that these things could exist. I mean, waterproof clothing is an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, if you're a runner or just go out on rainy days to walk the dog, you're probably wearing a waterproof something. And you might be exposing yourself to some of these disruptors, but then again, the food stuff is very worrying. And this is hundreds of studies they've looked at.
It's not just one study. So I think that's why we have to take it with some, give it some credibility, because it's lots of different findings, lots of different studies. I guess one of the worrying things I saw in this story was that there was a protocol in the late 1990s to regulate these chemicals. The Environmental Protection Agency established it. But since the 1990s, there's been little headway made on this. So it seems that there's a big awareness problem here. And it's getting lost perhaps in all the other initiatives and stories around climate and sustainability.
Generally it goes to, you know, it plays into the hands of eat fresh, eat natural, cook, don't overcook stuff. You know, there's lots of stuff which says actually that would be good for you, because you'd stop taking in tin tomatoes. I mean, I like tin tomatoes. I'm not against them, but whether it will change people's habits.
Yeah, indeed.
Who knows?
So from tin tomatoes,
tomatoes.
Tin tomatoes to apples, and Apple has unveiled its plan to become carbon neutral across its entire business, manufacturing supply chain, and product life cycle by 2030. The company is already carbon neutral today for its global corporate operations. This new commitment means that by 2030, every Apple device sold will have net zero climate impact. And I guess my first thought when seeing this story was that how can a huge $1 trillion company like Apple ensure carbon neutrality across its entire supply chain of thousands, possibly tens of thousands of suppliers?
There's one thing is, if you are one of the biggest buyers in the world, you want to supply one of the biggest buyers in the world, you will bend over backwards to do stuff. The danger is would you tell them that you're doing stuff and not actually doing it? So it comes down to how much diligence Apple got in checking their supply chain. They do have a number of initiatives, and we do know that Apple do like to keep a lot of their manufacturing processes under their own watchful eye.
Yes.
So which kind of plays in their favor. But you know, they say they've got 92 who have joined their scheme, their program
supplier in place.
But the 92 out of, you know, how many is the question? We don't know. But there's some interesting stuff in there. They are going to they're trying to make every one of their products fully recyclable, and they put processes in, including a robot called Dave, who joins Daisy. Dave and Daisy dismantle iPhones and MacBooks and recover the rare metals. So they're actually creating the process to recover stuff, whereas previously that would go to generic recycling.
I guess the positive thing about this is that the design is sustainable from the start, and whilst that might take time to trickle down, I think there's probably a lot of other companies can learn from that to make things sustainable from the very start. And talking about understanding sustainability, the Sustainable
You're Development doing well on your links
Solutions
today.
Network, the SDSN, published the Sustainable Development Report 2020. including the SDG index and dashboards. So this report outlines the likely short-term impacts of COVID-19 on the Sustainable Development Goals and describes how the SDGs can frame the recovery. The report also tracks progress by countries towards the SDGs. And before I let you jump in, Russell, because I know you joined the webinar on this one, we have an interview with the project manager of that report coming up on the Green Elephant show shortly. So tune in for that one. But what about country progress towards the goals, Russell?
Well, I mean, you mentioned the COVID word, so I'll just pick up on that. Part of this, the reason this report was pushed out so rapidly into this time of the year is to give a response to how, and it gives a rating to countries that have achieved the best response to COVID as well, but that's a separate matter again. What they wanted to do is show that this has had a significantly bad impact on these sustainable development goals. And for those that don't know what they are, there's 17 goals set up by the UN, which go from zero hunger, zero poverty, through to building partnerships for such goals as these, and looking after life on the land and life on the sea. Now, it's a 520-page report. Consume if you wish, but they have created this great dashboard. I do think it's very good. Dashboards.sdgindex.org, and you can look at rankings. We'll do a link on the show page. But they've got rankings in there, and you can have a look at every country, 193 countries, each one rated against how they're doing in sustainability. UK does perform quite well in the rankings at 13. Sweden's I think is the one sitting firmly at the top. In comparison, probably our closest ally, the United States, is 31, and China is down there in 48. But one of the interesting things is it gives you a traffic light on every single one of the 17 goals. And we haven't got a green in any of them. China have got green in three of them, because they're pretty good at poverty, education, and economic growth. But that's because of their economic system, really.
Great. So we'll put some links up to that on the show page. Thanks for that, Russell. And finally, before we go, IKEA debuts plant-based meatballs. A long-time staple of any visit to IKEA, the Swedish retailer has announced the plant-based balls will launch across Europe in August. Oh, I can't wait. These plant balls will be served alongside mashed potatoes, vegetables, cream sauce, and lingonberry jam. Well, since IKEA sells 1 billion meatballs a year, converting some of those to plant-based should have a real impact. So you can find links to all the stories we've discussed on the show page at greenelephant.show. If you've got any stories or comments you want to share, then find us across social at greenellipod. And until next time, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a sustainable week.